Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rolling.
My traditional cough. Traditional pregame cough.
Yes. Now, we did not have Patrick join us Friday. As his normal spot. We had him the previous day last Thursday. But Friday, you had to attend a service.
Father Brian O'Rourke from Sainted Aunt Helen's brood of kids, lived right across the corner from St. Mark's in their youth and Wilder there, around the corner.
Yep.
And Brian died, I think, in April, late April. And his sister Sheila died on Christmas Day. Oh. In Arizona of ALS, so we had a doubleheader. Friday we had Brian, and then Saturday we had Sheila. So we had them both, and I got to see a lot of relatives I hadn't seen in a while. But as predicted, Archbishop Hebda,
you had the
was in the house.
Yeah, wow. What was time of game?
I was very fearful.
Yep,
but we went about 110.
Hey, that's not bad.
And you know why?
Because you were sitting in the back going like this. Giving him the rap sign.
No, because the arch, who's a stout fella, was as overheated as the rest of us.
Yeah.
The arch finally had to give the whole deal. And
give the whole deal.
The arch
wipe his brow.
You know, wiping his brow.
Yeah,
and doing
the whole deal.
And the arch, they had, you know, full garments, the whole deal.
Yeah, sure.
And it had to be 98 in St. Mark's. No hint of air conditioning. Mm. And the only fans were up on the altar, aimed at the arch, trying to get up underneath the garments
from overheating.
To keep him a little heat. But he was heated up.
Did he give remarks?
He did not make the eulogy, homily, whatever it was. But he did talk briefly about how great it was to have parish priests like Brian O'Rourke before he left. But he's got the... What is he, early 70s maybe? My age? Probably, man. I could be looking in a mirror, basically. He's a stout fella, just like I am, right?
Yeah.
But he's got the old man walk going, kind of the sideways shuffle.
Yeah. Waddle.
So I think I could beat him in a walking contest. But he was definitely overheated.
Well, that saved you.
That saved us a lot of time, I think. Now, Brian.
61 years of age. He'll turn 62. Bernard Hebda, he'll turn 62 September 3rd.
I didn't think he was in his 70s.
He is not aging gracefully.
We'll just delete that part.
No, we won't. He seemed like a hell of a guy.
He's a guy.
He is a good guy.
I've seen him at several functions when I've been an MC. He will take the needle with a grace.
Yes.
He's a fun guy.
You know, he didn't run out when he was done. He sat down on the bottom of the steps and talked to people afterwards. Good guy.
Yeah.
But... The guy who did the homily was, see, when Brian first went into the, you know, first
industry.
Had his vocation, he was a Capuchin monk.
Oh.
And I think the fact that the Capuchin monks, they like that, you know, that hardcore, you know, kneeling for 5 hours
a day.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
Like the dude in Angela's Ashes. What is the one where they're looking for the Dan O'Brien book?
Yeah.
You didn't care for it.
I can't think of the name.
But he gave that up, right? He resigned from the Capuchins. And it took him, but he stayed very active in the church and working for the poor and all that stuff. But then he got through Archbishop Roach. He tried, you know, he went through about a 10-year process of becoming a parish priest through Archbishop Roach and went through the Vatican and the whole deal. And then he might have had a third parish here, but he had St. Mary's by the lake in Plymouth for a long time, and then he came back home to where he was an altar boy, St. Mark's for—
How old was he when he died?
7 or 8 years. Early 80s.
Yeah.
He had a massive heart attack about 15 years ago, though, and was that kind of knocked him up for a peg. And he was living out in California, but, you know, raised $2 million for some charity or something. He was, but I
well,
told
the good ones are rainmakers.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he was, they can get the dough.
He was a could be a pretty funny guy, telling stories about my old man, and because he'd come down with his buddies in the summer, and my old man would just work them unmercifully, you know, digging ditches and graves and everything. And but he also, the funniest story was, I think, did I tell you this one about, you know, he's the kind of guy that became very close to the parishioners, and as a big favor to him, some guy and his wife invited him to a Viking game.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place in the world he would rather not be than a Viking game around a bunch of drunks.
Right.
And but he was too kind because he was, so he said yes. So he was telling Katie and I this story once, made about 20 minutes about how they first went to Jack's and everybody got, you know, drank, and he doesn't drink, and then took the bus downtown. And sat among the screaming fanatics, and then came back, and they wanted to, Father, are you going to stick around a little longer? Yeah. Jackie said, no, I got to go. And he said, and 2 weeks later, they asked me again. And he said, for the next 5 years, I had to make up morbid stories of, you know.
Got last rites for it.
Had to kill off half the parishioners to make sure I didn't go to another Viking
game.
Did
she die last week? Whoops.
Died more often than Percy Harvin's grandmother.
Yes.
Went through more ailments than Percy Harvin's grandmother. But he was a good guy. But the art seemed like a good guy, but he was hot, man.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
So the key to a time of game is you got to look at the forecast.
Yes, right. I mean, you know, I think that Brian planned his own. He knew he was dying. He planned his own service. But I think that I think they shortened. I think the arch looked at that when he went in the church and it was steaming, and said, "Let's get rid of this thing and this thing and this thing and
let's go
this thing.
We're going to go Eucharistic prayer number two, but the shorter one."
But his brother,
well, arch pulled rank. That's all. Yes.
His older brother lives in Australia.
Who, Hebdos?
Brian's older brother, Darren. He was a brother, too, but he's not anymore. He was Brother Darren, and then he was Jerry, and then he was Frank, so it's hard to know what the hell to call him. But he's down.
Why was he changing his name?
He was a brother.
Yeah.
And then he was not a brother, and then he went back to his original name, Jerry.
Oh.
But then in honor of his father, he became Frank. So we get communication from Frank, and I said, God, Frank died 25 years ago. What the hell's going on here? And then it turns out it's Jerry.
Yeah.
But in Australia. But they had her on, like, live stream. Isn't this a great country? That
closed circuit?
Down in Australia, they could watch the
funeral
for him and then for his sister the next day.
Did you have to go somewhere and have a hard-boiled egg with nuts?
Yeah,
and
the next over at the grade school there now in the little basement they had it. But
I think when you have it's a rule of thumb that when you have a large priest, it is going to be shortened up, because I remember, you know, Monsignor Steiner at Nativity was he was very skinny and small, and that was time, and he was always Eucharistic prayer number three in the hot summer. But the Lightning Lannan, Father Lannan, he was a big guy. And he would be sweating, and he'd have those oscillating fans on him. We called him. We knew if it was above 85, it was going to be Lightning Lannan. It was he was going to shorten her up.
Yeah, it's there's There's nobody.
It was Slow Steiner, Lightning Lannon, and Shotgun
and
Kelly.
And you knew Lightning Lannon wanted to get out of there, and he'd say, if you really think you have to go to communion, come on up. But there's no obligation here.
That's what my friend John Malone said one time at Assumption on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
He said, when you get communion, turn around and leave the church.
That's right. Yeah. That would have been good for my old man. He generally left at the start of a communion, but once in a while he'd go up there. But no more, I don't want to use the word appropriate because you don't like it, but no more
fitting.
You can fitting use it.
Death, no more fitting death than Richard's. My dad.
The squirrels, too.
No. Well, yeah, that's what killed him, but did not. Not immediately. Oh. That the rabbit stew, he'd eaten that, and then
awesome pepper
caused his chest pains. But he went to St. Olaf's with Aunt Peggy on Saturdays, like they always did, and like 4:30 or something.
That's a catechism class,
right?
Four thirty, but then he left.
Yeah,
and when Peggy went to communion, he left and went and got the car. And he parked illegally in outside St. Olaf, and he had a heart attack and died for leaving.
That's what it was.
His last Catholic act.
Well,
was
how
to
old
leave
is Richard?
68. Is
that's all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Last Catholic act was to leave community, right. Leave early.
But to go do what? To go get the car.
Yeah.
That's what guys like to go. I'm going to go get the car.
Yes. Well,
Even at church. It's just wherever you are. It's a way to get out early.
Favorite lines from a granddaughter is, it was a big baptism.
Yeah.
And we're all there. And I said, where's your father? I said, where's your dad? He's parking the car. I said, where's he going to park? And she said, outside.
Yeah, that's good.
Well,
that's good.
Accurate. It was accurate.
Boy, they've relaxed the rules, though, haven't they, as far as the secular nature of the church?
Are we going to do the whole thing on religion today?
Well, I was going to bring this up. My cousin Kathleen told me that when she got married long ago, right, 60 years or something, but when she got married, her husband, even though he was a Catholic, didn't have any Catholic buddies, and his dad was dead, and he had no brothers.
Yeah.
They made him find a Catholic to be the best man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You couldn't even have a godless Lutheran as your best man.
I don't think it's that way now.
Oh, hell no. When we just had the baptism, the brother of the father was the godfather, and he'd never been in church in his life.
Right.
Nice guy. Pretty nice place, yeah.
Nice guy, but we did tell him he's now responsible for making sure that the daughter goes to Mass every Sunday. You know?
Got it. So,
that and some financial remuneration.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, yes. That's it.
Well, but the twins aren't really worth talking
about. No, what the hell.
They're done.
We can pray for them. Yeah. We can pray for them.
I looked it up today, Reavers. I think I've detected part of the problem.
Okay.
In 2019, they went 101-61, and they hit a whole bunch of home runs. But they also finished ninth in the major leagues in pitching. Last year, they didn't hit it nearly as well, but they still went 36-24 in the midseason, and were fourth in the major leagues in pitching.
How are we doing
this year? 27th.
Oof. How many teams?
30.
30.
Yeah. 27th out of 30, and the earned run average for all of baseball, the cumulative ERA, 4.10, they're 4.99.
Holy cow.
In other words, damn near a run a game. They're giving up damn near a run a game than an average team, and a run a game still is important in a baseball game. Mm-hmm. Where are they on the West Coast now?
They're in Seattle, and I think I saw they are now on pace to lose 96 games they're on pace to lose?
Well, it's 2011 all over
you
again
when
they ended up at 99. Yeah, but I didn't call it at the beginning. I picked up 87, 90. Every time I write something ripping them, some guy on Twitter sends me back 87 and 75, which was my prediction, which was by the way, the least generous of all the Tribune guys, Star Tribune guys.
Well, they were projected to be a 94-win team,
I
believe.
No, the over and under was 88.5.
Well, I thought it was
a little higher, but it was like
what the hell happened? Well, Sano hasn't come through.
Terrible pitch.
Buxton doesn't play.
No, the pitching is their problem.
Pitching is a problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But not to mention, I mean, the staff has been underwhelming, but the bullpen's been a disaster.
Did Buxton get activated on the way out to Seattle?
We expect him to play this evening, I think. But who knows? Why rush into it?
My Habs play tonight in Vegas.
Oh, go Habs.
Maurice Richard and the boys, Guy Lafleur, they're turning over in their grave that,
boy,
that the Yankees of hockey are now playing in Las Vegas.
I am shocked that the Vegas has won the last four against Colorado, man. They whopped them in game three, and you thought, I mean, they just barely beat them in game three, and then they beat them 5-1, and I said, well, you know, Colorado will get them back home. And they
see the Island beat the Tampa.
Way to go, Island.
Yeah.
You got to go out there for old time's sake.
I really should.
It would be great.
Just visit that dumpy locker room.
Can you imagine a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night game there?
Oh.
And that tailgate with those fans? That would be incredible.
Hey, were you in Boston for the playoffs that year, too? Was there one of those years? Weren't you in Boston?
Probably.
Once? Didn't you tell me that you were up there? I was there, but I was there for basketball, and we kind of stood on that. We had the front row of the second deck.
No,
there.
I was way up
top.
Didn't
you tell me you were up there, and the train would go by, and the whole thing? And
plus up there, fans had figured out access to the roof.
Oh yeah,
and they would go outside and smoke joints.
Plus, if they were playing late in the season, no air conditioning.
Oh, it was terrible.
I was there for two Celtics Lakers games in 80 whatever year the U.S. Open was at Wingfoot, and it was unbelievable. It had to be 100 degrees and trying to play basketball and or hockey. Jeez.
Well, how could they play that? How could they play hockey that late with no air conditioning? Was it just slush?
The ice in a lot of those places was not real good later. No. They used to be done in
Wasn't there a fog game? What was the fog game? Dallas and Buffalo?
Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't see the puck.
Couldn't see anything.
Couldn't see the other guy.
Because of the fog coming off the ice.
Wow.
Yeah, it would. But the Garden was. I was in there late writing one night downstairs in the press room.
Yeah.
It was a rat circus
walking
out of there because they would, you know, the fans and everybody would leave, and then they'd come out and start eating the popcorn.
That's just like
thing.
That dump Fenway Park. Dump.
I've seen them there, too.
Yeah.
Did you see the crowd at the Cubs game Saturday?
Yeah.
They had, 45,000 for the first time
there?
They
did not look like they were social distancing.
The always available Bill Murray sang the Take Me Out to the Ball game.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And the Cubs, Judd and I were just talking about this, the Cubs were going to trade Bryant. They were going to, they didn't sign guys. Lester, they let him go, which was
good. They traded Darvish.
Yeah. They were going to kind of give up. Now they're in first place, and the fans are coming up 40,000, and they're going to have to hang in. Meanwhile, your Cardinals have lost 10 out of 11 or something, right?
Those end-of-the-year series between the Cubs and the Brewers are always fun, though, especially when they play in Milwaukee.
Maybe we'll get a Cubs-White Sox series.
No, we could.
Yep.
We had one as recently as 1906, was it? I'm not sure.
I don't remember that one.
I don't either, but somewhere they did play each other in one year in there. I think maybe the last time, before this last time that the Cubs won it, I think 1906, but I might be wrong.
84, Wingfoot.
84, I was in there.
Yep,
I covered the Open there in 74.
That was a great series. Jack was there. Jack was there. Game two, and Jack, they're going to lose, so the Celtics are ahead of them. Jack gets up and leaves, and the whole crowd is singing, "Hit the road, Jack," and he moons them.
Oh.
He dropped his pants. Jack always had like these two guys in leather.
I don't know.
Jackets.
Boy, is he falling off the public scope, hasn't he?
Oh, God, he's 80-something.
1906, the Chicago White Sox beat the Chicago Cubs.
And by the way, where are my keys? But Jack mooned him walking out. It was great.
They have a list here of the, below is a chronological list of World Series play between teams from the same metropolitan area. And there's been one, two, three, four, five. Boy, there's been a bunch.
Well, Yankees, Dodgers, and yeah, all of damn near all of them are New York. Yankees, Giants, Yankees, Dodgers.
The St. Louis Browns lost to the Cardinals in 1944.
Mm-hmm. Didn't the Browns become the Orioles?
Yes, yeah. And that was because of the war. The Browns were so bad that nobody would draft them. Yeah. The Army didn't want them, so they won the pennant, and they were traditionally horrible, and yeah, they became the Orioles in 52.
Did the Browns and the Cardinals play in the same park?
Yep,
Sportsman?
I think the Browns were the major tenant, but I might be or might be wrong. No, obviously not when it became Busch Stadium, but yeah. Sportsman's Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the great mock stories. 64. This was 64. World Series used to be like teams, executives, and the owner and the mm-hmm. manager and the general manager, they'd go to the World Series, right? Mm-hmm. And 64, the Phillies blow it, right? And Mock is there with John Quinn, mm-hmm. you know, and his guy. And he's about 15 rows behind the Cardinals dugout, National League side, and they run out. And he had to get up and leave.
Mm.
He couldn't.
No, he couldn't take it.
He couldn't take the idea that the Phillies weren't in it, and he'd miss the World Series, as he did for the rest of his career. He never got to manage in a World Series or play in a World Series. But do you remember him telling
me that? He never did after that?
No, he had the Angels twice. He was.
Oh, that's right. They lost to Boston when they were up 3-1.
He was ahead 2-0 against the Brewers when it was a best of five, and they lost 3 in a row in Milwaukee in 82.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 86, they were up 3-1. Donnie Moore came in and gave up the home run Dave Anderson, and they lost that one, too. That's when the Twins played him in 0-2, right? ALCS in 0-2. I called them up, and you know, one of my questions was, "Are you going to the ball game, game 3?" He says, "No, they invited me. They want me to come up, but I'm not going to be responsible if they get beat." He said, "If I'm there, and if the Angels get beat, and I'm their guest, I'll get the blame." He said, "I'm not going." I'm not going.
Would he have liked the rally monkey? Would he have been a big rally monkey
guy?
He
would have taken anything he could get to the World Series, man. That was life itself for him. So, but I was in Milwaukee for that. 82, you were.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there?
Mm-hmm.
When they played, when they beat the Angels?
Yes.
5. Mm-hmm. Rodney, you know, Rodney.
Wasn't 82 a series Milwaukee and St. Louis?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And then the Brewers after that was a great series. And but the Milwaukee crowd was as raucous as any I've ever seen in County Stadium, man. They love that team.
That's a great baseball town, Milwaukee.
Are the Bucks going to get to the finals?
I don't know. Well, the Nets, if Irving's hurt, Harden's hurt, and now Irving last night sprained an ankle, so they might beat him, yeah.
We got another new golfer I've never heard of who won a tournament.
No, and that Chesson,
Hadley?
Three ahead with 3 to go, and ended up hitting it in the water and hitting it all. I had never heard of that tournament. Where was it?
It was called the Palmetto Challenge. It was in South Carolina.
So the Palmetto, the golf course must have came up with local sponsors or something.
I don't know.
Because there's no company called Palmetto.
They had a pretty decent field considering it's U.S. Open week.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson was there.
Yeah, he was there, and he made a run and then hit it in the water he has a tendency to do these days. That's right. It's U.S. Open week, and nighttime
TV. We get primetime golf.
Nighttime TV is taken care of. That's right.
That's perfect.
Is that nice for you?
I love that.
Nice for you? Okay. Quality time with the bride?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, she doesn't really care about the U.S. Open.
Well, and if Brooke, you know, I can give them a hole-by-hole outlook.
Yeah, our guy played with his.
It's at my course, Joe.
Of course. How is the golf balls again?
I wonder how many of the golfers will have their golf ball in a plastic bag.
Well, I did. In fact, Pat, I don't know if you heard the whole story, but when we were out there on vacation, I went to a play it again sports, similar to that, right? To just buy a bag and two clubs. And I had to wait until late in the day when everybody else had it, all the members.
Did somebody else pay for it?
Or no, I did.
It cost you 100 and a half.
No, two? It was two and a quarter.
Oh, wow.
But the best part, Pat, was the young man that was assisting everybody with their stuff. He said, "Sir, you left your bag." And I said, "Keep it."
Covered. Thank you.
Did you hear that, Price Giants Ridge fans?
Oh. Yeah.
Play the Corey and the... Legend.
When are we going up there? Royce's got to come with us.
Yeah, you want to take our golf trip with us? You drag the clubs out for this event.
Okay. So who's, what is the event?
Well, we're making
just
one
us.
Up.
The Garage Logic
Open. You were raising money for
Kenny said he gets to rip heaters and drive the beverage
cart. Okay, we have to get, tell me when you're going. I'll get Masich to come out and have a drink with you.
Oh, boy.
One of the, you know, he'll come out.
Does he live right near there?
Yeah, he lives in... You know, Boabic, basically. Yeah,
far away.
Yeah, he lives. He lives right there. Still doing okay too. I talked to him.
Good.
I was going to.
Are he and the big guy still good buddies? I think.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah,
I think that's forever.
I think when you played hockey with John, and he was your idol.
Yeah.
Because he was so damn good, I think that secures you for.
Right. I think Stan played with him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Plus a former employee here.
Yeah.
Salesman,
I don't know. They weren't on the same line, though. The line was Masich, Doherty, and who the hell was the third guy? It was the most famous line in Gopher history, and I can't remember who the third guy is. Dick Doherty, who was a great player. I think he just passed away. And Johnny.
Johnny's in what, his 80s?
Yeah, but he's still doing pretty good. I think he still plays some golf, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much, so. And what a good guy, though, man alive. Dick Doherty, Doherty.
I'm looking for the line.
I can't remember. You know that Eveleth had a high school team that Michigan was like the power, and Ike was the goalie, and Matt Cheffs was another Eveleth guy who was the superstar for them. And the University of Minnesota gave their first scholarship hockey, a first hockey scholarship to get John because they, you know, his family had zero money.
Mm-hmm.
And Doherty, Masich, and that's all you got to type. Doherty, Masich, and.
Maybe I can beat him on this computer.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the rooster on here.
No, you don't need the rooster.
Well, that's what I was looking at the U of M's website here to see if I could pull up a roster from back then.
Although Masich was a dominant force in the college ranks, he never chose to turn pro. The Iron Ranger had other commitments. I was in the ROTC program when I was at the U, he said. I had a two-year obligation. I played in the 56 Olympics that was coached by Johnny Marucci. I took my degree in education, and with three kids in my family,
Campbell.
Only six in the NHL, I
Campbell.
Accepted a
Gene
job.
Campbell.
From Stanley Hubbard at Hubbard Broadcasting, and I don't regret any of it.
Well, the reason he didn't is it was a six-team league, and they treated Americans like,
second-class citizens?
Campbell.
Yes. Gene Campbell.
Campbell.
Not a boy,
like Rook. The soup.
You know, I found it by typing Masich, Doherty, and.
I did too, but it didn't come up.
Yeah.
Well, we got her.
Campbell. Gene Campbell.
They're all out there.
Oh, I spelled Doherty wrong.
Yeah. D-O-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y.
Yeah, I got the D-O-U-G-H part.
Right, Campbell's right after Doherty.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Gene. Did Gene just pass? I don't know. I'm killing
don't
off
kill
too
anybody
many
off, yeah.
I mean, I've got a bad habit.
You've had a good run, though. You haven't done it for a while.
Yeah, because damn near everybody's dead, you know.
Who was the, was it the Twins pitcher that you had?
No, Vern Mickelson.
Oh, I thought it was a Twins pitcher recently.
Twins pitcher did I kill off too?
Who was the guy lived in Appleton?
Oh, Jerry Kuzman.
Jerry, yes.
Come like it
Jerry
is
Kuzman from Appleton died. And if he died in Morris, but he was like an Appleton native. How did I know that there's half the people out there are Kuzmans?
Yeah.
You know, there's millions of them. There's dozens of them, you know.
Didn't he call you? Like, no, Pat, I'm still around.
No, I called to see who answered to see if I could get some information, and he answered. I said, "You sure sound like Coos." And he says, "I am Coos." And I said, "Well, gee, that's too bad."
Wasn't Mike in the
that's
other
too
one?
Bad you're alive.
Mickelson screwed me up.
Oh, Mickelson?
Vern Mickelson.
That's
I was
gross.
Pulling into the Wild yep. parking lot, and I get a call from the Star Tribune sports desk and said, Sid just told us that Vern Mickelson died. And I said, oh, bleep. So I am driving back, and I did the hit with you guys.
Yeah, on time, I bet.
And revealed that the great Vern Mickelson, one of the great guys ever, had died.
Mm-hmm.
And I get in the Star Tribune parking lot, and they call me and said, actually, Sid made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
Vern Mickelson told him that Joey Hutton Jr. had died.
Sid just got a little... He was close. He was close.
He thought that Joey Hutton Jr. had told him that Mickelson died, but Vern had told him that Joey Jr. had died. So then I called up Vern and said, Vern, what a comeback! You know, I told him we killed you off, Vern, and then he got a few. I think I got a column out of it.
Oh.
Vern, greatest comeback in sports history.
It's like when you play the telephone game. You know, it's
he was not a big fan of the great man, Sidney.
Vern.
Yes, the entire story about if the Lakers had only traded Vern Mickelson to the Celtics, they could have had Bill Russell and blah, blah. That was told so often, Sid actually believed it, even though Arbach denied it and everybody else.
Sure.
We're going to...
Every time the Celtics came to town, it was repeated.
It was Gene Campbell.
Yes.
Gene.
Is that what you're looking Campbell. Up?
No, I'm looking up what the temperature is right now in Vegas. I was talking about those...
103, I'm betting.
Those hot days in hockey arenas. I want to know what it is, right? Oh, cool. That's so modern.
So you think those Montreal Canadiens, as they're getting off the bus, are not getting that that quaint feel as they do when they come to the X?
103.
It's 103.
No. I didn't look, honest to God.
Right there, 103.
What a weatherman. I could have been a good weatherman.
Guess the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the humidity.
40.
Nothing. 22.
5%.
Oh, my God.
I'll take 103 if it's 5%.
Holy man. Well, now, this is game one between Vegas and the Habs.
Yes.
When is game two? Do they skip a day?
Yes. Yeah.
So they'll be out there Wednesday?
110.
117.
Ooh, yeah, that'll get a little toasty.
Just a quick football note, gentlemen. Danielle Hunter and the Minnesota Vikings have agreed to a new reworked contract on the first day of mandatory minicamp.
Wow, they caved in, huh?
Danielle gets significant more money moved up in his contract while Minnesota gets one of its stars to report. Hunter will receive... a lot of money. Let's just put it that way.
That's a good way to call it. Have
they told us yet?
This is from Ian Rappaport.
He's pretty good.
$18 million new roster bonus on the fifth day of the league year. So, and he's received a couple of more years added on to his existing deal.
How much do we know? How much is he hasn't told us yet? How much of it's guaranteed? Huh?
No, but he will be on the books for $20 million next year.
Next year, okay. Yep.
Is it worth it?
If his neck's healthy,
if he's healthy, he's the most important player on the defense.
He's pretty good if he's healthy, but if he's not, he's Byron Buxton.
Yep.
So, although they haven't paid Buxton yet, well, they're trying to take Spielman and Zim know that this is it.
They're on the clock.
They got to win. So they got to. I don't even know if making the playoffs is good enough. I think they got to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs.
Are they going to trade Rodgers, do you think?
Yep.
I do, too.
Yeah, they're going to trade him. They're just, you know, there's what the hell sense is there not to.
Especially if he doesn't want to play.
Especially as good as Jordan Love looked in the minicamp.
Yes.
That's my new way to agitate. Is to
I never figured out. Every time I
see something positive about Jordan Love, I said... they're going to have the best quarterback in the division again!
I never figured out what he was pouting about.
I think he's pouting. People think it's because they took it. I think it's more the field goal and thinking they're idiots. And he doesn't like Brian Gutekunst. Mm-hmm. He wanted them to get him a receiver last year to go with Devontae Williams in a draft in which was loaded with receivers, and he took another quarterback, and that originally irritated him. And then, luckily for him, Devonnie Adams had the was fabulous. But and then I think he's mad at the coach for kicking the field goal and him sitting there, and the game ends with him sitting on the bench.
The best was the one guy that asked him about it in a Jeopardy question. I don't know if you guys saw that. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Who decided to kick the field goal?
Right. Plus, he's got the new girlfriend. He wants to be in California, right?
Yes.
And she'll probably, if he's in Denver, she'll come to Colorado. They can have a nice little place halfway up the mountains, worth a few million.
Take some edibles. But
she ain't going to Green Bay.
No.
She ain't hanging out all winter in Green Bay. What's her name?
She's
got a goofy first name.
Yeah, she does have a goofy first name.
She was
Dorothy. No.
No. Shauna or some damn thing.
I've never heard of her.
She was in, I don't know how in the hell I ended up in this movie.
And my Shailene Woodley.
Woodley. She's a cutie. Yeah, she was in the
Danica met introduced her to Aaron, and then Aaron dumped Danica for her.
He's
that kind of guy.
Yeah, she was in the
she was in Fault of the Stars, right?
Fault of the Stars, yes.
I went to that with my wife, and she should never ever dislike me again for sitting through that piece of crap.
Wasn't on your...
Why did I go? I don't know why I went.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Just the name should have told me that I shouldn't go.
She was in the George Clooney movie where he was running around Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
The Descendants, I think
that
it was.
That wasn't bad.
No, that was pretty good. Movie. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. The Descendants, by the standards of...
Right.
Let's anyway. Go to the bank.
You know, go to the bank?
Yeah.
I'm going to make a recommendation... Which you would, another one, I'm the, another
Bitcoin.
Watching, another TV watching recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Flack on Amazon.
F-L-A-K.
F-L-A-C-K, Flack. It's about these PR people in London, three, four women. Anna Paquin is in it, but... They have Hollywood types and client types, athlete types, getting in big jams, and then they come up with creative ways to get them out of it. Mm. And like, for instance, this last one I watched, this charming young couple that is the in couple in Vegas and in London. Had their first child, and it was an African. It was a black child.
Okay,
and he's not black.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
interesting.
So they call in the specialist and say, "What are we gonna do here?" You know. And,
well,
they convinced him to admit he was infertile, and that he was a big buddy of this the guy, the basketball player who had impregnated her. And they asked him as a friend to donate the sperm. And
got it.
I thought that was pretty creative.
Got it.
Pretty
creative.
Yes, that's the kind of stuff that goes on.
Recommendations.
But it's also, we're coming out of the pandemic, and we've been watching a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know?
I've got one recommendation for you guys. Don't know if you'll take me up on it or not, but there's a new show out, The Celebrity Dating Game.
I highly
recommend you guys take that one out. Kind of be celebrities. They kind of set themselves up, and it's some quirky twists. It can get nutty.
Yes.
Celebrity dating
that's
game.
That's it for me.
Okay, we're
he
done.
He has left the bank.
We're done.
The show is called Fleck.
Flack.
Positivity is going to change this culture,
yes,
period. When you get inside the football walls,
too.
You're going to have positivity hit you right in the face.
Yes, that's right. I'm still miffed they didn't give me that job as the Gopher beat writer.
Oh, that's right.
You're a natural.
You tossed your hat in the ring.
He and I would have gotten along right swimmingly.
Joe's already filling out his withdrawal slip.
Get to the bank, man. Get to the bank.
Anything left in there?
This is Patrick Gracie with the Canopy Group. What does dedication, perseverance, resilience, and accomplishment best describe today? The Canopy Group believes it's the graduating classes of 2021. What we are most proud of for these graduates is their ability to overcome challenges in their pursuit of future opportunities. True to their perseverance and resiliency, these students are finding new ways to celebrate their milestones and their success on this journey. puts a smile on all of our faces as we drive through communities and see dozens and thousands and hundreds of yard signs. It is amazing that what these graduating students have gone through, and they deserve the spotlight, for they are Minnesota's future. Please join the Canopy Group in honoring your friends, relatives, and neighbors who represent the graduating classes of 2021.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that old bicycler Patrick Ricey sent you.